The new normal. This is it. Look around. Things are a little different. So as we begin to re-enter this world from sheltering in place, from being safer at home, this term, the new normal, will be used a lot. This phrase acknowledges that things are different now. We can't go back. And something extraordinary has taken place, and now our lives won't be the same. It is difficult to adjust to this new normal, as some of you might know already. But it must happen, or we will be left behind. Today, we celebrate Pentecost. And Pentecost does the same thing for the church. For those of you that are unsure about this word, Pentecost, you might have heard it before as a particular denomination. You got the Pentecostals. Pentecost is unfamiliar because it's not an English word. It's a Greek word. If you ever were familiar with math or you've seen a pentagram that has five sides, Pentecost means 50th. It's the 50th day after our Easter celebration. And originally, in the Old Testament, this was a celebration of 50 days of harvest, of a spring harvest. Pentecost is the moment that changes the church and its leaders forever, as we just heard from Acts chapter 2. Jesus and his disciples used this day, this celebration, and transformed it for the church. Jesus' disciples, Jesus' followers, cannot go living like they were before because of this extraordinary event. They weren't just fishermen anymore. They weren't just tax collectors anymore. They were leaders. They were people to be sent out into a broken and hurting new world. And they formed what we call the Christian church. This newly formed church must now enter the world and determine its place in it. That's what we're doing today. We are starting a new Pentecost. We are back out in the world for the first time in a long time. And we are given that same charge as the original apostles. There is a new normal for the followers of Jesus. And we will study that today and in the weeks to come in this series. The new normal. Where do we go now? Right? How does this new normal of Pentecost help us handle the new normal of our life that we have after a pandemic? The first start is realizing that God's word is as relevant today as it ever was. So let's take a look at how this fits together as we figure out where we go. Today we're talking about a family fully formed. When we look back in our scripture reading for today, in Acts chapter 2, we hear of people gathered together in one place. Now, I'm guessing they didn't have the same sanitary precautions in place, but back then they didn't think to it. But there were people, hundreds of people gathered together in one place, and that place was Jerusalem. And they were gathered together for a specific purpose. They were celebrating the Old Testament understanding of Pentecost. It was the Feast of Weeks, they called it. A celebration of offering to God like they did since the days of Moses. And just like Jesus transformed that old celebration of Passover and made the Lord's Supper, so too the disciples are taking the Old Testament celebration of the Feast of Weeks and turning it into what we know as Pentecost. And so you have people, Jewish people, from all over gathering to celebrate this main Jewish holiday. You got people from, they call in Scripture, the Parthians and Medes. You got Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia. So the Parthians and Medes are coming from Greece. You got Elamites and people from Mesopotamia way over on the east side by Asia. You got Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt. It's a good thing pastor's reading these names, right? Libya, Africa, Cyrene, all of the Mediterranean area. You got people coming together from all different walks of life, every skin color and every language. All for this reason, that they were going to be transformed right there, right then, as a new church. But remember these key words. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Imagine that. Now, we might seem like we got about 50, 60 people here today right now. We generally like each other, right? We all kind of look and have the same backgrounds. We get along for the most part. But when you get that many people from that diverse a crowd, it's bound to be a little crazy. And they were together in one place. That's where we start today, a family fully formed. Pentecost today reminds us that God's family isn't just limited to one particular group of people, right? One particular bloodline. Yes, Christ came born of the Jews for the Jewish people. But guess what? The Christian church is for all. We call them the Gentiles, people that are non-Jewish. You and I are Gentiles. They're for the Greeks. They're from the Arabians. They're from the Africans. Together in one place, a family fully formed. That's the church. In this scene at Pentecost, we hear God's story of salvation spoken not just in English, not just in Greek, not just in Hebrew, but for every language, gathering all people into his story. And we see the family of God expanding before our eyes. That's what we need to remember today. I'm sure you've heard plenty in the news. Protests. Racism still proceeding on in 2020. Old things continue to rear their ugly head. The evil of this world. But they're these same people. The ugliness of this world. And the good of this world. The blacks, the whites, the browns of all different colors, just like this time, are part of our family. They don't necessarily look like us. They don't necessarily act like us. They don't have the same economic means. Some of them don't even have the same language. And that's the beauty of it. God paints his church, his Christian church, throughout the world very colorfully. And that's a good thing. So how is the family of God expanding before our eyes? How can we look at a world that's hurting and angry and frustrated and afraid as fellow members of this family? The same people that are looting, the same people that are protesting, the same people that are spouting off political jargon are, guess what, our brothers and sisters in Christ. The same very people that Christ poured out his blood for. They are our family. And just like we have those people in our regular immediate families that we sometimes don't get along with all the time when we get together, they're part of our family too. We have to remember that first and foremost. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised that his disciples would be, quote, his witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, for those that aren't geographically inclined, what he's doing is painting a picture. You got Jerusalem right here on Pentecost. Then you got Judea, the next surrounding area. Then you got Samaria, even larger area beyond that. And again, the Samaritan people, the Jewish people did not like because they were the half-breeds. They were going to go out to them too. And then to the ends of the earth. What Jesus was doing was painting a picture of the ripples that you might see on water, ripples of influence in God's family, each location creating a larger circle of influence. And at Pentecost, today, and for us today in this new Pentecost, we see the first ripple. When you guys came here today, you made a splash. You started a ripple. We gathered today, not just in Jerusalem, but at Bethlehem. And the church is formed right where Jesus left it. So where is your Jerusalem? We said we're gathered here in Bethlehem Lutheran in Wales. And guess what? You and I, we are witnesses today. We've seen what God can do in our world, despite it all. So where do you go now? How do we start in Jerusalem? Where is your Jerusalem? I want to say that your first ripple is in your family. You guys got to know your family pretty good over these last 2.5 months, haven't you? Sometimes a little bit too good. A lot of you had to become impromptu teachers for your children in this time of quarantine. A lot of you had to become a full-time babysitter, a full-time chef, a full-time grocery shopper. Even if you didn't have children, you had to understand what life at home was like all over again. And guess what? That was a good thing. Now, we might say that there were problems because of this. There were, yes, domestic abuse rates that gone up because of this, because they were put together in a place that wasn't safe. But there was good happening during this time, believe it or not. When all of you were gathered together behind your iPads, your phones, your computer screens, watching worship at home, you were teaching the people next to you how the church looks and behaves. And that's a good thing. So that first ripple in Jesus sending us out starts at home. Faith starts at home in your family. So how did your family look during this quarantine? Think about it. How did God use this time of evil for a time of good? Because God was surely working. Your first ripple was in your family. A family fully formed. We got way too fast-paced, and so God reeled us back in on purpose. So how does our family look? How can our family be fully formed? Now, I'm going to share with you a familiar book. A lot of you probably know it by now. Let's look at the love languages. How did this happen in your 5 love languages? Remember those love languages again? Words of affirmation, my favorite. Physical touch, one we can't enjoy fully unless you're like in the same family. Acts of kindness, gift giving, quality time. Guess what? In quarantine, you talked to your family. You might have even hugged a family member when you couldn't hug or touch anybody else. You prayed with your family. If you haven't, you can start today. Greet the morning with a prayer. Tuck in your family, your kids in bed, or even if you're an adult, you can say the same prayer when you learned as a kid. Now I lay me down to sleep. How's it go? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You just prayed. You're teaching people to pray. You can reward your family. You can spend quality time with your family. That's how the ripples of the church start. And you are doing it. You are doing it beautifully well already. So, remember back at that children's message, we talked about God breathing on his disciples. Who is breathing on you now? Not necessarily literally, but how is God breathing, empowering you to do just that, to be an apostle? And let me look at this question, where do we go now? Remember that God's family is not just limited to one particular group or bloodline. In this scene at Pentecost, we hear God's story of salvation spoken to all nations, gathering all people into his story, and the family of God expanding before our eyes. So as we remember who is breathing on us, who is empowering us, remember, how is your family affecting others? How are you affecting others? How are you breathing on somebody else? How are you sharing the joy that you have today? The confidence you have today with someone that isn't here? That's the question we have to answer first before we answer that next one. Where do we go now? We can start at home with that first ripple. But know that there's a whole lot more ripples to come. So may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.